Well, it's great to be with you as Doug and I, who we were off on Friday, and we got a lot to talk about. How are you, sir?
Oh, I am doing fantastic. You enjoy that fight, Napes? Come on,
yeah,
baby.
I was asleep before it started.
What?
I was in Dallas. I was asleep before it started.
I you know what?
I really was. Sometimes. I was asleep before it started.
Well,
what time did the fight start here?
It must have been 8:30.
About what time?
8:30.
All right, so I was 11:30, and, you know, I'm...
Oh, did you miss out, Grant Napier? $99, you know, well spent.
I got a lot of people that told me they enjoyed watching it, but I don't think I missed out based on what I read.
No, you missed out. Oh, yes, you did. Well, you missed out.
You know what? I think I'm going to survive.
Well, I taped it, so you can come on by.
You taped it?
Yeah, well, you know, DVR.
I thought you said you weren't buying it. I thought you were going to have someone else buy it for you.
I wouldn't. My $99 was well spent.
You know, I heard from Doug on Friday, and then I didn't hear from him the rest of the weekend.
Did you like that text?
I got this text message with a little video on Friday.
What was it? Tell the people.
It was the Mariners finally beating the Yankees, but then I didn't hear from him the rest of the weekend. I was like, gosh, you know, the guy was – I thought, wow, this is going to be great. I'm going to be able to converse with Doug when I'm away, and I didn't hear from him the rest of the weekend. I don't know. Did you lose your phone or what?
My phone dropped in the toilet.
Did you break your phone?
Hey, Jay, I broke my arm trying to get to my phone.
Is that what happened?
Hey, man. You know what? The Yankees bats woke up. They played well. Give them credit.
Well, they've only played Seattle 7 times this year, and I really, if they're only 5-2
hey,
against them.
Dump that part right there, Chris Verlade. Dump
5-2.
5-2. Just dump that.
But anyway, I heard from Doug Friday night, and then I didn't hear from him the rest of the weekend. But anyway, we got so much to talk about. You remember when we left on Thursday?
Yeah.
And I said, you know, when we come into work on Monday at 3, I'm going to have a long list of players that are out for the year in the NFL.
Yes, you did.
And guess what? We have a long list of players that are already going to miss the entire year, including Patriots wide receiver Julian Edelman out for the year.
Yes.
And Dallas Cowboys middle linebacker Anthony Hitchens. They have feared an ACL, but it now looks like a fracture of the leg. Mm. And he'll be out at least half the year. And then you got the Chiefs starting running back Spencer Ware out for the year. And I can go on and on.
That's a big one
That's a huge one. All right. And so what did I say on Thursday?
Yeah, you said
and you just – all you want – because, you know, your team that you root for, Seattle, last week they lose their starting left tackle George Fant.
Right. I know it.
And it's just – it absolutely is so infuriating when you see all these injuries in preseason, and there's no, I don't have a solution. I don't think going to 2 games is going to make guys not. The only solution would be don't practice and don't play preseason. Well, because look at all the guys that got hurt in just practice.
Right. So when you think about that, Grant, this last game, it's going to be an absolute joke, I would think. You know, last
no
preseason game.
No
one's playing. So in that regard, it's useless. Spencer Ware out, Julian Edelman. In your eyes, when you look at Julian Edelman, what do you look at him as meaning to that offense? Because in my opinion, that's a big loss.
It's a huge loss. It's an absolutely huge loss.
He behind, what was the other guy that was there? Wes Walker. Wes Walker is the only guy that's caught more balls from Tom Brady than him. And now out with an ACL.
Brady, I'm sorry.
Yeah. No. Go ahead.
Brady targeted Edelman 158 times last year.
Whoa.
He didn't catch, but he targeted him 158 times.
That you know what that says to me, Grant? That says security blanket. That's what it has written all over it, meaning that this is a guy I can depend on. I know when and how he comes out of his routes. You can get him long, get him short, get him in the flat, across the middle. He's one of those do-it-all guys. They don't have him. That's a big loss.
Devastating. I mean, when I mean devastating, the Patriots always seem to – but to me, the Chiefs' injury to their starting running back, that's brutal, boy.
Does that change your –
yes, it
last
does.
Last week you said
– yes, it does. I think that's a loss that the Chiefs will not be able to overcome. And so, yes, I think that – now, the one thing – again, I watched the Raiders game on Saturday night against Dallas. I watched the first half because I was at a restaurant and the game was on, and I was like, okay, I'll eat and I'll watch the game. The Raiders' defense is awful. I mean, their cornerbacks are terrible. And so I still don't know if the Raiders can win a shootout style of game night a week after week after week. It's that's a lot of pressure to put on your offense.
It is, because you have to deliver, and therefore you can't really have any injuries. You got to get that thing working like a well-oiled machine, similar to what we see with the Patriots, but they have a better defense, and that's why it can give the offense and the defense have to work together to give each other rest. And right now you're not going to see that with the Raiders. You're going to see the ball running down the field. Defense is going to be on the field. They're going to be tired, and now the offense will be back out there.
I had an unexpected pleasure on Friday night, and you know, there were things that you don't expect, and then you experience meeting someone, mm-hmm. and it's kind of like it leaves you with a wow factor. Oh. I was at a birthday party on Friday night in Dallas, and I won't even go into the details of the party other than to say it was the most incredible birthday party I've ever been to. No, it was unbelievable. And, I mean, it was just...
Spare no expense?
No, exactly. It was unbelievable. But I ended up, and, you know, you had name, you had a certain table you had to sit at, and your name was on. Anyway, I ended up sitting next to Roger Staubach and his wife.
Wow.
And then on the other side of us, we were with Jim Sundberg and his wife. Jim was a longtime catcher for the Texas Rangers. I think he was a four-time All-Star. But I was sitting directly next to Roger Staubach's wife, and then obviously Roger. And so we started, we were sitting there for 2 hours together before we were able to get up and enjoy the band and everything. So I had the most amazing time talking to Roger Staubach and his wife.
Wow.
And Roger, like, I learned so much about Roger Staubach. Do you know that he did not start playing football until senior year in high school? He was a baseball player.
Really?
And the football coach went to a couple games and said, your arm is amazing. I would like you to come play high school football. And do you know what the Naval Academy, when Roger Staubach was at the Naval Academy,
right,
not only did he play 4 years of football, he played 4 years of baseball. And his first 2 years, he was on the basketball team.
Wow.
Now think about that for a minute.
That's an athlete.
All right. And so we were talking about, and I said, hey, you know, I said, and I really mean this. I wasn't, listen, you and I, because of what we do, we meet all kinds of great people.
Yes.
And I'm not saying that it wasn't neat to talk to Roger Staubach, but I don't like foam at the mouth. You know what I'm saying?
I got you.
Like, he's a person, I'm a person. But I told him, I said, hey, you know, I got to tell you, I told him one of the great thrills of my childhood, I was going to watch Bob Hayes play.
Mm-hmm.
Bob Hayes, at the time when he was with the Cowboys, was the fastest human in the world. And I remember going to see the Cowboys play because we had season tickets for the Giants at Yankee Stadium. And I told Roger that. And so Roger goes, you know, it's interesting you say that. Do you know that my longest completion touchdown ever in my career was to Bob Hayes at Yankee Stadium?
Wow.
And I said, yeah, I remember. I remember
you
vividly.
Remember it.
And he goes, yeah, Spider Larkart. And I go, number 43. And he goes, he goes, excuse me? I go, number 43.
Yeah.
I go, because you weren't going to Willie Williams. He was number 41 on the corner. And he goes, yeah, you know, Spider, I thought, was going to catch that ball. And they were wrestling, and Bob went in. And I'm like, yeah, I remember. I go, you know what, Roger? I don't ever remember seeing you lose a game against the Giants. Because, you know, the Cowboys were so good. But so we started talking about, like, his football and I said, you know, Roger, I said, you know who I, to this day, remember vividly about how great of a player he was Larry Wilson of the St. Louis Cardinals. And Larry Wilson was one of the fiercest, hardest-hitting defensive backs in football.
Mm-hmm.
And he goes, oh, boy. He goes, you know, my first game was against St. Louis, and we spent the whole week on trying to figure out how we were going to fool Larry Wilson so he didn't kill me or us. And he told me, he's like, so here's the deal. He runs down, he goes, so I looked this way, I looked out, and then I threw this way to Mel Renfro, and Larry Wilson bit on my fake, and Mel scored a touchdown, and he was telling me, like, all week how nervous he was going again. But we were talking about plays from the, you know, the early 70s, because he didn't really he started his first game in 69 because of an injury, but he didn't become the starter for 2 years. But we were talking about, remember how I told you how great it was to be able to watch Jim Brown play?
Yeah.
And all these Dick Butkus and, you know, Leroy Kelly and Gale Sayers. So we sat and we were talking about all of these players and moments for 2 hours.
That's amazing.
It was spectacular. And he the nicest guy in the world. Like,
really?
And his wife, just they met in junior high school.
No way.
Oh, yeah.
Just and all American.
Just all, you know, but he was the nicest, like, the nicest guy in the world.
That
and then he was asking me about the Kings.
Yeah.
And, you know, it was a special night to be able to meet a legend. And that guy's a legend.
Oh, definitely.
You know?
And you blew his mind with the Grant-isms when I told him the number.
When he said Spider Larkhart and I said, number 43.
He looked at you like,
I mean, that's
who is this guy?
That's 1971 we're talking about. He's like...
I can't imagine, man. You're sitting there talking to a legend, and you're dropped. So that probably made him open up a lot more because now he wants to. He knows that you know what you're talking about.
Well, he asked me what I did,
okay.
And then I said, "Well, I'm the TV announcer for Sacramento," and that's how I met Ted, who was having the birthday party. And I said, "I have a talk show every day," and then I said, "Hey, I go listen. I know you're probably going to want me to get up and leave the table, but I'm a diehard Giants fan, and I'm from New York." And I said, "Hey, I used to watch you as a little boy at Yankee Stadium." Throwing to Bob Hayes.
Wow.
And he was just like, you know, and then we started talking about some of the games and he told me, you know what was neat? He goes, well, I got to tell you, he goes, one of the biggest thrills of my entire career was playing at Yankee Stadium. He said, because I was a baseball guy.
Ah.
I didn't grow up as a football guy. And he said, when I first played at Yankee Stadium, he said, like, you have no idea.
Yeah.
He goes, I knew I had arrived as an athlete to play at Yankee Stadium, even though it was football.
Right.
And I said, you know, it's interesting you say that. I go, do you find a lot of your teammates were like that? He goes, you know, some of them were, some of them weren't. If you had a love for baseball, you knew that when you went to Yankee Stadium, you're playing at the same field that Babe Ruth played
Come
at,
on.
Mickey Mantle and Joe DiMaggio. But he was talking about all of that because he's such a huge baseball guy.
That's incredible. I mean, for a kid, playing in Madison Square Garden or wherever, when you see all these iconic yep. players go through there. But imagine playing at Yankee Stadium. You're a baseball guy, but now you play football.
Yep.
Wow, big
yeah.
time.
And that was the old Yankee Stadium. Like, that was the Yankee Stadium with 80,000-plus and the big pillars with obstructed seats and the huge bleachers. And, I mean, that was – but it was just neat to be able to – you know, relive my childhood in a way
yeah.
with his stories and getting a perspective from him.
Come on. He was just on the field. You're watching in the stands.
But he was just the nicest. He and his wife were the nicest people that you could ever want to meet. Just
That's awesome.
Amazing.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So I had a very good weekend. And, you know, and again, I'm really sorry. When I get this, you know, I said, okay. You know, if you're a Bears fan, your wide receiver, Cameron Meredith, out for the year. Oof. You know, you're a Cowboys fan. Your defense has already got some issues. You now lose your middle linebacker for at least half the year. If you're a Chiefs fan, you now lose your best running back for the year. If you're a Patriots fan, a guy that does so much for that team, Julian Edelman, out for the year. If you're a Colts fan, you know, you've already lost Tannehill. You know, if you're a Colts fan, you lost your starting center, Ryan Kelly, for the first 8 or 9 games. And I can go on and on. It's just awful.
And if you're a Cincinnati Bengals fan, Vontaze Burfict,
right.
5 games
suspension.
Right.
Well, you know what? And he deserves it because the guy is he's a dangerous guy to have on the field. And had that not been Burfict, if it had been someone else, they're not getting suspended. But with his history and his resume, it's just awful.
I'm glad you said that, Grant, because what I wanted to say is old school football, and I know it's not old school. It's a new time.
That's a fine play in old school football.
Yes. When you're coming across the middle, you keep your head on a swivel because you're in the linebacker's area, and they will knock the snot out of you.
That's correct.
But so to me, it's his reputation that got him that as opposed to the hit, because the hit,
yes.
it was bad, but it wasn't terrible. So then you got someone who gets in Ezekiel Elliott gets suspended for 6 games for what he did.
Yeah,
and
his appeal
five.
Is tomorrow, by the way.
Yes, it
Now, they
off.
Won't rule on that appeal. They may not rule on the appeal until after September 9th, although in reading, or 10th, excuse me,
mm-hmm.
upon reading a lot of things, they think that that they will, but it's not like he's going to have his appeal tomorrow and they're going to rule on it tomorrow.
They may is what you're saying.
No, they will not.
No,
the report has to be written up. The arbiter has to, you know, then write his report on everything, and it takes a while.
Okay, well. Hey, at least all this stuff is coming to a head a little bit because, man, football season is here, Nate.
Yep,
I'm excited.
Yep, it is. All right, 339-1140 and 800-919-3776. 800-920-1140. Again, 339-1140, 800-920-1140. I'm Grant Napier along with Doug Christie. Let's get to some phone calls. We start with Ken. Hello, Ken. How are you?
Pretty good, Grant. Thanks for taking my call.
Yeah, thank you.
As a child of the 70s, to listen to you talk about Roger Staubach was very nostalgic for me. He was one of my favorite quarterbacks, you know, growing up in the 70s. And the thing about Roger Staubach, two things I just wanted to bring up. He is probably one of the most successful post-athletic career athletes in history.
That's right.
I think he probably, if I'm not mistaken, is either a multi-billionaire or billionaire. He's very close to it because of his business acumen.
God, if I had known that, I would have asked for some money. But no, in all honesty, he, from what I've been told from the people in Dallas, is, as you pointed out, to say he was and is a successful businessman would be an understatement. He's one of the great stories in the history of sports for somebody that went from the playing field to the business world.
Hey, Ken, exactly. What is his business, Ken?
Hey, Ken, hang on. Do you have your radio on in the background?
No, I don't.
Okay, we're just getting a bad feedback. So go ahead, Ken. You can answer Doug.
Doug, I don't know exactly what it was. I think it was some electronics firm or something like that he trafficked in. He hit it at the right time, and it just took off, and he was one of those people. The other thing is, being an old Naval guy, you know, everybody's familiar, I think, with the Clint Longley story. And
yes.
That is the young quarterback that took over for Roger Staubach in the Thanksgiving game.
Yes.
And had the game of his life. Well, the next season, this guy wanted to be the starting quarterback, and there was no way he was going to be out Roger Staubach, and he became frustrated. So one day they're in the weight room, and Roger Staubach is lifting weight, and the guy hit Roger Staubach with a cheap shot and took off like the coward that he was. And the story that everybody in Cowboy camp told was they needed to basically hold Roger Staubach down because if Staubach would have caught that guy, he was going to hurt him very, very bad.
Wow.
Staubach was not only competitive, but he was a naval officer and had that hand-to-hand combat
training. Yeah.
And he was ready to put that to use. And you very rarely heard stories about Staubach losing his cool. But that day, they were going to see a different side of Roger Staubach. And I think it just spoke to the competitiveness and the side that you don't get about the great Roger the Dodger. So I enjoyed listening to you talk
Thank
to
you.
Him. A great guy. Thanks a lot, guys.
Very great guy. Ned, you're next with Grant and Doug. Hi, Ned.
Hey, how's it going?
Good, Ned. What's up?
Hey, so I want to talk about the 49ers and Carlos Hyde and with all the Spencer Ware injury
yep.
and other teams that might be running back needy. What do you think Carlos Hyde's trade value might be now? Because I think he's a really talented player. He played great the other night. The Niners look good, but I don't think we're going to be contenders. And I'm thinking he's about 26.
Boy,
it might be a good time to ship him out and maybe get something back for him.
I haven't even thought about that. I'd have to give some time to think about it. I don't see that really. But Kansas City is going to be in the running back market. They have to.
Yeah.
I don't think there's any question.
Ned, I would say that you're probably going to see them make a move somehow because, as Grant stated last week before we got off the air, that he's putting Kansas City at the head of the AFC West. So that automatically you want to stay in that because the window is so tight and so short. You want to get somebody.
All right, thank you.
Hey, thank you. Appreciate it. 339-1140. 800-920-1140. Make no mistake about it. Spencer Ware is a big loss for the Kansas City Chiefs.
Oh, boy. I will have to reach out to Pete Youngman and talk to him about this.
You don't want to talk to Pete right now.
He's devastated. We're going to talk to Brian tomorrow morning the
we
whole
are.
Way.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, Grant, when I mentioned windows and whether it was Webb going down with us, whenever you get close like that and something like this happens, if you are that close, making a move, just as Ned said, I think is probably a smart thing for the Chiefs.
Yeah. Again, I don't know what their plans are. But that's just a really difficult way to enter the season. There's no doubt about that.
Well, and you mentioned, Grant, that when you are going into these preseason games, the one thing that you want to do is you want to get out healthy, if you can do that. And especially these teams that are really good. I mean, think about Edelman. That just it's absolutely mind-blowing. This is a team in the Patriots that is thinking about maybe running the table and going 16-0, whether they do or not, whatever. But the point is they are that good. And to lose somebody that means that much, where do you go and what do you do now?
All right, 339-1140. That's 339-1140 and 800 920-1140. You know, again, it's listen, it's football, all right? And we keep on going over this and we talk about it. That's part of the game. That's part of the deal. The injuries are part of the deal. And guess what? You're going to have guys that get hurt in practice. You're going to have guys that get hurt in meaningless games. And there really is no answer other than it's almost like Russian roulette. You hope it doesn't happen to a player on your team that you root for.
No doubt, Grant. This is where, you know, teams resting in the NBA and all those different things, you get it. But the point is you got to get out there and you got to play and you got to do your job. If it's going to be that time for you, well, it just happens to be. I mean, if these same injuries happen in week one, Grant, we're not talking about them the same way. We understand, but we're not talking about them the same way. That's just part of football.
All right, if you want to call the show, 339-1140. That's 339-1140, 800-920-1140. Again, you talk about the injuries in the NFL, and that's, you know, in order to win in this league, you not only have to be really good, you have to be lucky.
How about that?
And the Chiefs right now already unlucky. Bill, you're on with Grant and Doug.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. Anybody watch the 49er game?
Yes.
Well, I'll tell you what. I think the Raiders whiffed when they didn't take Reuben Foster.
Yeah, he looks like the real deal, boy.
I'm
having
a real real bit, you know, bad time with that, I'll tell you what.
He looks really good.
He's a thumper.
Oh, boy. He looks like he's the real deal. There's no doubt about that.
Yeah, whoever the doctors were that evaluated him and gave the Raiders that information, I wouldn't go through those guys anymore because they were saying, I mean, the Raiders used that as an excuse. It may have been the character part of it. They used the shoulder as the excuse why they didn't select him. But right now, with the glaring need at linebacker for the Raiders, and I watched that game again. I watched the Dallas game. They made Jared Goff look like the second coming of Joe Montana last week. Then this week, if you look at the quarterback statistics from Dak Prescott and the other guy, who was the other guy? Some no-name guy. Both of them barely had any incompletions at all. It was like they just marched down the field.
Yeah,
no question.
You know, Bill, when you talk about the ability to draft players and the information that they get from doctors and things like that, what ends up happening, because it's not only the Raiders that passed up, it's other teams too, and it goes like risk-reward type of thing. It's the same thing that happened to me coming out of the draft. I'm drafted 17, but without the knee, maybe I'm up in the top five or six. And it's we want to take something that's maybe it's not injured, but it doesn't have that splash, or and all of a sudden now you're looking at him and you're saying, wow, he just jumps off the screen. He's what we thought that he was. Will the shoulder hold up though, Bill?
Yeah, after watching those guys, I think it was Reuben Foster that came out and smacked him right in the mouth on the first play. I think it may have been Dalvin Cook, and he set the tone right from the opening play. And I just saw him at Alabama, and I thought this kid is such a player, and I just wish the Raiders would have taken a chance on him because right now it looks like they really passed on a good one here.
Yeah.
Agreed. All right, thank you for the call. We are just getting started. We're coming right back at 339-1140 and 800-920-1140. This is Sports 1140 KHTK. All right, Grant Napier and Doug Christie, 339-1140, 800-920-1140. What are your thoughts on Cleveland and Boston? Let me tell you my thoughts real quickly.
Okay.
And this is something that I've always admired the Kings when they make deals, and Jeff Petrie was great at this. I don't understand why you would ever announce a trade until the players have passed physicals. Maybe you can give a little education to the fans listening what happens when you're traded, because unless teams waive the physicals, which in this case did not occur, the trade is not official until players undergo their physical and the team said, yeah, it's all good. And here's the thing that's very puzzling to me. Everyone knew about Isaiah Thomas's hip injury. It was no mystery. And when the Celtics announced that they had traded Isaiah, Danny Ainge even talked about him probably not being ready to start the season. What are the Cavaliers doing announcing a trade without giving Isaiah a physical first?
Well, that's a tough one, because think back to Sean Elliott and Robert Horry. Do you remember that trade?
I don't.
So Sean Elliott, the year that Houston won their first championship, they traded Robert Horry for Sean Elliott. Sean Elliott had that problem with his kidneys or whatever it was.
Yes, I'm sorry.
And they rescinded the trade, and they both went back.
That's correct.
And I just kind of went, whoa. Well, so when I'm here, Grant, and I get traded from here to Orlando, they traded me without a physical. I got there the first day, and I'm thinking to myself, before I went, they called me on the phone, they asked me about my ankle. And I was like, you know, it's okay. You know, you'll have to see it, obviously. And now as I think back, Grant, if I would have said, look, man, it's not right, whatever, it probably would have canceled that trade. But I didn't do that. So does that happen all the time? I know it happened to me, because when I got there, they were playing Detroit. Orlando was playing Detroit. I walked into the locker room, walked back and talked to the doctor. He gave me a physical, passed me, and the trade was then all the way through. When I think about this, Grant, I think that Cleveland probably, obviously, knew about his hip. But to the extent that they were able to get an MRI and examine him thoroughly, maybe not. Now, could they have been playing a little bit like trying to get a little bit more in juice out of it? That they could be doing that. But I think maybe there's a little bit more there in his hip than meets the eye, and that's probably the problem.
All right, let's get to Anthony. Hello, Anthony. How are you?
Hey, Grant. How are you guys doing today?
What's happening?
Hey, I just had a question on what do you guys think is holding the Cowboys up on dropping Kellen Moore and making Cooper Rush their second-string quarterback, and I'll take your answer off the phone. Thanks, guys.
You know, I don't think it really matters. If Dak Prescott gets hurt, they're not winning a lot of games. Now, I know we said that last year when Tony Romo got hurt, but I think it's pretty apparent that even with Ezekiel Elliott, if he even misses six games with that offensive line as good as it is, I think at that point, it probably doesn't matter who your backup quarterback is.
It probably doesn't. But out of that, who is going to be the best one? Obviously, that's what you're gonna pick. But I agree with you, Grant. If Dak goes down, that pretty much, you know, seals. Now, are they going to fall flat on their face? No, because you got an offensive line and you got an incredible running back who, after six games, will be back. Now, he might have to make a throw or two, meaning the backup quarterback, but you're not gambling on your backup quarterback taking you to the Super Bowl. Dak is going to have to be healthy.
All right, if you want to call 339-1140, 800-920-1140, we get to Mitch. What's up, Mitch?
What's happening, Grant? Doug, how you doing?
Good, what's up?
First, I didn't realize I didn't know that Roger Staubach was such a great athlete.
I didn't either. But, I mean, obviously, if you watch him play and his scrambling ability and throwing the ball as well as he did, I mean, but, yeah, he was a phenomenal athlete.
Yeah, just the nickname Dodger kind of makes it all come around.
Yep.
When Heisman, the early days of the Cowboys, they couldn't win the big one. And so you got the tag. Plus, he had a fight. He had a little battle with Morton. Craig eventually played with the Giants, too, I believe. Another quarterback. He was unbelievable, too. I think he was drafted in baseball, Joe Namath. I mean, everybody just remembers him the way he couldn't really play towards the end of his career with the knees.
Yep.
And he threw more interceptions than touchdowns, but he's all family, that's fair. Unbelievable. The Raiders, I think if they keep the offense on the field a lot or rest their defense, that will help them out. I mean, Dan Marino brought his team to Super Bowl. And he now have a good defense or running game.
But that's a whole different era. You can't compare what Dan Marino did in the early 80s to what's going on now. It's a different game.
Oh, it's easy to pass nowadays. And one more thing, Grant, I know you're a Yankee fan. I thought the fight Saturday night was just a little better than the fight we saw at Yankee Stadium in Detroit.
Yeah, with Gary Sanchez and everybody, Cabrera. Yep. Hey, thanks,
that
man.
That was a cheap shot. Doug would know this. You get your backup player, go after their best player. Cabrera is a Hall of Famer, first ballot, I think. And again, cheap shots. I mean, I saw some punches from behind, real cheap shots.
And how come Cabrera got suspended more than anyone else?
I think he started everything.
Thank you.
Yeah.
All right, let's get to Sean. Hello,
Sean.
How are you?
Did you just say it's okay to cheap shot, Grant?
Hey, no, I didn't.
Afternoon. Okay.
What I said was, hey, Sean, what's going on?
Sorry, Sean. Go ahead.
Hey, no worries, Doug. How you doing, man?
Oh, good, man.
One thing I wanted to ask Grant, and maybe you have some input on it too, Doug, is
I've been watching the Giants' offense so far, and I think the passing game looks amazing. But what I'm not so sure about is which one of these running backs are going to emerge as the lead back. Because I always had a lot of faith in Shane Vereen, but for all intents and purposes, it looks like Perkins is taking over that starting
role. Yeah, it's Paul Perkins, who's the rookie last year out of UCLA. He'll be the number one. Shane Vereen's the third down back. Can spot Perkins, but Shane Vereen's not the he's not your starter. But they'll use him a lot, and particularly on second and third down passing situations, Shane Vereen will be in the game.
Okay. And what do you think about Odell Beckham injury? Do you think he's going to miss any? You think he's going to miss week one? Are you hearing that he's going to miss it?
I have no idea. How would I know? How would you know? I mean, I can only go by, you know, the people that are reporting on this. Now, he has not been on the practice field. Brandon Marshall is going to be back, but I don't know how he's going to respond to all of his treatment. He's got 2 weeks.
Yeah, I would say with him, you don't know what it is, but I think they're playing it smart. Keep him off the field. Make sure it's healed because you absolutely need him.
That's a good call, man. Thanks a lot. You guys really enjoy the show. You guys have a great afternoon.
Hey, thank you for calling, Sean. You know, again, I don't know how some players respond to treatment, but the other issue is it's a 16-week season, and the last thing I would do is bring a player back and have that type of injury linger the whole year because – that doesn't do anyone any good.
Well, you know, the key with him when we're talking about Odell Beckham, Grant, is what makes him special is his explosiveness, the speed, the coming out of his breaks, the double moves, all the different, obviously the catching. But if he is gimpy at all, that just changes the whole dynamic of what he's able to bring to the table. And in the preseason, okay, granted, he got out there, he got a couple reps, great. Shut it down, make sure that you're ready, and that's how I'd go about it with a talent like him.
All right, if you want to call 339-1140, that's 339-1140, 800-920-1140. Grant Napier, Doug Christie, and when you talk about guys being ready in 2 weeks, it's almost impossible. And now if you're dealing with an ACL, or then we know. But if you're dealing with an Achilles, we know. But a sprained ankle, you have no idea.
Yeah. I've sprained many, caused bone spurs, a lot of different stuff. 2 weeks for a guy like him that's young, he should be fine.
But it's more than 2 weeks. It's 3 weeks because he's already had 1 week.
Yeah, so I would.
I would agree. Unless it's a high ankle sprain.
Unless there's something in there that they're not reporting, then that would be a problem. Otherwise, he should be good.
Because if it's a high ankle sprain, that can linger all the way through the year, and it can be a real problem if it's a high ankle sprain.
Yeah, that's not something that you want to play with. That's why I would make sure that he is 100%. Because, Grant, how do they tackle? Just the way that he was tackled in that game. They're going to grab him on his ankles. There's a lot of different things you got to take into consideration.
All right. We'll be right back. Your phone call, Sports 1140 KHTK. If you are a fan of the Kansas City Chiefs, we will preview their team and find out what life could be like without Spencer Ware. That's coming up at 4 o'clock. Blair Kirchhoff is the reporter for the Chiefs for the Kansas City Star.
Well, that's going to be an interesting one, Grant, because you know what? If you're depending on where to run the football, but you got a guy like Alex Smith that manages the game, that's a good combination because you got a guy who can absolutely run the ball. Then you got Kelce, who you can drop to as a tight end, or you can take him even longer because he's so talented. Does that maybe bring in Patrick Mahomes, who's a little bit more dynamic? Those are the type of questions that we have to ask.
All right. Again, if you want to call the show, 339-1140. That's 339-1140, 800-920-1140. Basically, preseason football with one game left, you pretty much have seen what you needed to see. 49ers defense last night I thought looked very good. Actually, their team looked good.
Yeah, they did, actually.
It looked pretty good. The Raiders defensively – we talked to Lincoln Kennedy about this on Thursday.
Yeah.
They're the same as last year. They're not any better. And, again, I'm not making too much out of preseason, but it just doesn't look too good to me.
What do you think the thought process is behind something like that, Grant? You would think that you would go in and the one thing that you got, well, there would be two. One would be making sure that I'm comfortable with my backup quarterback, but the other one would be making sure that my defense is stepped up.
Their high pick, Jerrion Connelly, has not been on the field yet, the cornerback that they drafted out of Ohio State. They expect him ready for week one, but again, a guy that's never played before. I mean,
yeah. I mean, even so, let's say that he's good. That's one side of the field.
Right.
He's got it. But, you know, talking about middle linebacker and in those type of areas that you can, you know, get to the quarterback and cause some ruckus, they seem to be lax.
All right. Grant Napier and Doug Christie, what do you think, Raider fans? Are you as concerned about their defense as we are? I don't see their defense being able to get off the field on third down. I don't see the defense being able to win a game. The offense, I know, can win a game, but I don't know if the defense can win a game. And at some point, your defense is going to have to win some games.
Especially trying to go where they're trying to go. They're trying to take it to the next level. Obviously, a fantastic year last year. Get into the playoffs. You end up losing to Texas. But now you want to take that next step. Your quarterback was hurt, so you don't really know. But to really go where you want to go, defense usually is at a premium. I mean, you look at the Broncos, you look at the Baltimore when they won it with Ray Lewis and those guys. These teams usually have some type of quality defense. The same with the Patriots. Patriots and the Atlanta Falcons last year, both of those, Atlanta, I think, a better defense, but Patriots always underestimated, but they have some quality defensive players. The Raiders, to go where they got to go, have to bring the defense up.
All right. Grant Napier and Doug Christie, the rest of the NFL, you know, look at some of the quarterback situations and teams that look to me like they're really going to. Like, I look at the Jets. I don't know if the Jets win more than two games this year. They look to me, they could be the worst team in football. They look awful.
Yeah, and there are a few teams that are out there like that, Grant, that just, it's like, what are you doing? Are you just waiting for this new crop of quarterbacks to come in, and that's the route that you're going to go? Would agree. They do not look real good.
You think?
Yeah. Well, they are playing against your G-men. Well, they were.
They haven't looked good in anything this year. They got major issues all over the football field.
No doubt.
And again, I don't think this is Todd Bowles' fault, but he's going to be the guy that's going to pay the price.
He absolutely is. And even last year, when they brought him in, you think a really good young coach that is going to do some things, but maybe pick the wrong situation because highly unstable, Grant, a lot of different stuff going on, and they haven't been able to figure it out on the field.
And when you look at some of the other teams that we think can be pretty good, part of it is Dallas. You know, they have a team offensively that looks unbelievably talented. Defensively, they could be some issues, but we won't know about Ezekiel Elliott for a couple of days. But if you're the Cowboys, here's the other part about this. I don't think a lot of fans understand this. Do you know that when you're suspended in the NFL, you cannot have any contact with any employee of the team? In other words, Ezekiel Elliott cannot text, let's say, Jason Garrett. He can't text the strength coach. He can't text anybody on the Cowboys. He's not allowed in the practice facility. He's not allowed anywhere.
Wow. Where you're, that's true?
Oh, absolutely.
See, that's different than basketball.
Oh, no, it's totally different. When you're suspended in the NFL, if he's suspended for 6 weeks, he is not allowed to have anything to do with the Dallas Cowboys. Can't go into their facility to work out. He can't work out with any current Cowboy players. He can't have messages. He can't be talking with any of the coaches.
What sense does that make?
That's just the way the rule is.
That's just stupid, man. Well, I mean, because when we get suspended in the NBA, we're suspended. You can't go to the arena.
Right.
But you can go to practice. You can get your workouts in. You can do all
that. I agree with you that it doesn't make a lot of sense. I'm just telling you the way it is.
Wow. Yeah, I didn't know that. That is, so that puts him back quite a bit. And if the Cowboys are smart, Grant, now this is just me thinking now that you've dropped that bomb on me, I would be putting into place a workout regime, all the things that he is going to need for the 6 weeks that I'm not going to see him. And somebody needs to make sure that he is on top of that. Now, could you have somebody who isn't employed by the team,
yes,
but the team could go out and make sure that they report back to them and let them know that he's doing
that
it? Or is
part,
that
I don't know. He could go into Columbus and work out with the Ohio State players. That's acceptable. That's good, assuming that they would allow him. But no contact in any way, shape, or form with the Cowboys.
That is amazing, man. That is, you know what? Too much of an investment I have in these guys.
I agree.
You're not leaving for 6 weeks. That's the damn problem
okay.
now.
Okay, well, then you know what? Then Ezekiel Elliott's got to make better decisions.
You're damn right he does, because you're messing with my money, man. Come on. Woo. Napes. Dropping right. fire on me.
We're going to come back, and we're going to talk about what do the Kansas City Chiefs do now. If you are a fan of the AFC West, if you're a fan of the Chiefs, we are going to talk with Blair Kirkhoff, Chiefs reporter for the Kansas City Star. A little bit later, we'll preview the Chargers with Ricky Henn, a reporter for Chargers.com. Ricky Henney, I'm sorry, from Chargers.com. And then at 6:15, we'll preview the Broncos with Andrew Mason. So we're going to go around the AFC West, but we'll start with the Chiefs when we come back on Sports 1140.